The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Yeah, good evening and welcome to the Big Red Bench. It's Colm O'Sullivan with you until 7 o'clock as we continue a very, very busy weekend of sport. So much going on across this weekend and we'll get to lots of it between now and 7 o'clock, including reaction to Cork's defeat to Limerick in the Munster Hurling Championship semi-final last night. Cork beaten up in Semple Stadium. We'll hear from Cork boss Kieran Kingston. We'll also hear from Limerick boss John Kiley and we'll chat to Tom Kenny about the game as well. We're going to be talking about rugby, a good win for the Lions in their opening game of their tour of South Africa yesterday. Munster and Ireland legend Tomás O'Leary will join us to chat all about the Lions tour in just a little while as well. We'll also be looking ahead to the Cork Footballers, their championship opener next weekend. Ian Maguire, Micheál Martin and Matty Taylor will all join us. All that and plenty more coming up between now and seven. And I wasn't lying on the show yesterday when I said we had so much sport to get through and we had an absolutely packed show on the show yesterday and we have a very, very similarly packed show between now and 7 o'clock. It's Colm O'Sullivan with you and we've loads to get through. Gaelic games, rugby and plenty more as well. We will park the Euros for tonight after a great day of football in the Euros yesterday. Denmark into the semi-final, well deserved after the victory against Czech Republic and of course England, very, very well deserved. A commanding, strong performance from Gareth Southgate's side last night, 4-0 against the Ukraine. The two Harries and Jordan Henderson getting the goals. And it was a good game to watch. England are impressive. England are very, very impressive. And do you know what? I think they could go on to win it. Italy will be the biggest threat to England, I think, at this stage. And that'll be my tip for the final, Italy and England. But we'll see how England get on against Denmark. That won't be easy either. And of course, Italy have Spain on Tuesday night as well. But we won't be talking much about the Euros on the show tonight. But we will, of course, be talking about it again next weekend and during the week here on Cork's Red FM as well. But we'll round up some of today's sport that has been going on around the country and further afield as well. And we'll start with a very, very busy day of Gaelic games. And Tipperary have beaten Clare on a scoreline of 323 to 222 in their Munster Senior Hurling Championship semi-final at the LIT Gaelic Grounds up in Limerick this afternoon. Michael Breen, Jason Ford and Seamus Callanan got the goals for Liam Sheedy's side today and they'll now face three in a row chasing Limerick in the final, which is actually going to be a repeat of the 2019 decider there. Limerick obviously into the Munster final after beating Cork, much to her annoyance, last night up in Semple Stadium. But I thought Cork played well from what I saw of the game, kind of flicking between that and the England game at the Euros last night. Elsewhere, Galway are back in the Connacht Senior Football Championship final. That's after they beat Roscommon 2-11 to 12 points at Dr. Hyde Park this afternoon. Paul Kelly and Matty Tierney with the goals for the tribesmen there. They'll face the winner of Mayo and Leitrim in the decider. Elsewhere, Westmeath, they beat Laois on a scoreline of 320 to 110 in their Leinster Senior Football Championship quarter final to book their place in the next round. Meath enjoyed an impressive good scoreline, 422 to 12 points win over Longford in Navan to book their place in the last four. And elsewhere, All-Ireland Senior Football Championships, Dublin were in action this afternoon as well, and Dublin getting off to a winning start. Dublin beat Wexford 15 points to 7 at Wexford Park, while Kildare lead Offaly 113 to 10 points currently in the second half in Port Laois. We'll keep an eye on that game for you throughout the show as well. And Armagh hammered Antrim 4-15 to 14 points at the Athletic Grounds in the Ulster Senior Football Championship quarter final. Golf, the Irish Open on this weekend up in Mount Juliet. It was nice to see 5,000 fans per day allowed into that, and I saw a lot of friends of mine on their Instagram stories and a lot of people I know on their Instagram stories were up the golf at various days across the weekend and it looked like great fun. Maybe not so much today with the rain, but I don't know what it was like in Mount Juliet today weather-wise, but if it's anything like here, it was a wet old one, but some lovely days earlier on in the weekend for the golf and nice to have crowds back, even if it is small numbers at sporting events now. And at the Irish Open today, it was Australian Lucas Herbert who has won the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open. He won it by 3 shots this afternoon. He finished up on 19 under par at Mount Juliet. Shane Lowry was best of the Irish there on 9 under par and he was in a tie for 23rd on the leaderboard with Cormac Sharvin 2 shots further back on 7 under. Graham McDowell finished on 3 under and Rory McIlroy was further back again a shot back on 2 under. In Formula 1, Red Bull's Max Verstappen, he cruised to victory in the Austrian Grand Prix today. McLaren's Lando Norris took his 4th career podium, finishing in 3rd despite getting an early time penalty. 7-time world champion Italian Lewis Hamilton. He came in fourth with his Mercedes teammate Valtteri Bottas. I always think that's a great name. Valtteri Bottas in second. And in tennis, they've confirmed at Wimbledon there will be full crowds on centre court and court one for the quarterfinals, semi-finals and finals of Wimbledon. Now, why this is significant is that this will be the first time in the UK that any sporting event or any sporting arena will be at 100% capacity since before the pandemic. Remember that? Remember when life was normal before the pandemic and every sporting event would be packed? Well, we haven't had it yet. We've seen big crowds in Wembley and so on, and we'll see bigger crowds in Wembley now during the week for the semi-finals of the Euros. You'll have 60,000 people, but that's still not full capacity for Wembley. So Wimbledon will be the first to have 100% capacity for the quarterfinals and semi-finals and final of Wimbledon over the next week or two. And yeah, you'd hope that we're not too far behind here. We had 8,000 at Croke Park yesterday, didn't we? And there was 2,500 in Temple Stadium. But that sounds a bit ridiculous when it's a 50,000 capacity stadium if they're having 100% capacity in the UK. So hopefully we're not too far behind. And that is where we will go now, to Temple Stadium. And as I said, a crowd of 2,400, to be precise, was in the stadium last night for Cork and Limerick. And unfortunately, it was Limerick who were victorious last night. The final score in that Munster Hurling Championship semi-final was Cork 1-17, Limerick 2-22. Cork played very well, and I thought the 8-point win probably kind of flattered Limerick a little bit. The Rebels led for much of the first half, Shane Kingston netting a goal. A penalty miss then from Patrick Horgan proved important though, and two goals in injury time at the end of the first half was a cruel blow for the Rebels really. Cork were well in the game until late in the second half, but then three unanswered points near the end of the match saw Limerick pull away and win by a flattering 8 points. Next up now, Cork will obviously go into the All-Ireland qualifiers in 2 weeks' time, and it is the Munster final for Limerick. Let's hear the reaction now after the game of Cork boss Kieran Kingston.
We were confident coming up here today, I'll be honest about it. We put a huge amount of work into this. Players were confident and the group were confident and our camp were confident, and we're very, very disappointed. Because I felt in the game that we could have won, and even on the day you might look at the scoreline, but I think that our performance was really good at times. We dominated the game at times, but just didn't put it on the scoreboard. And you can't miss 118 and a 50% conversion when you're playing a team like Limerick, All-Ireland, the Munster and National League champions. You just can't afford that, and that killed us today.
You had a great first half, but the two goals just before half-time, they were really killers for you.
Yeah, they were sucker punches. We've got to see them back now again, to see what did we do wrong or what did they do right, or was it a refereeing error or whatever, I don't know, and I'm not saying it was because I haven't seen them, but they were sucker punches just before half time. But I thought we regroup well. Like, you give that kind of momentum to a team like Limerick and you're always going to be up against it. But I thought our lads reacted very, very well, got it back to, I think, plus 3 points, and made some elementary mistakes then when we got it back, and the chances that we could have got it even tighter. And the lads we brought in made a big difference. Thought we were going well coming down the stretch, but just couldn't put the ball over the bar.
Sin Bin, Kieran, obviously a big decision point in the game and a turning point for from a Cork point of view, losing 4 points too at that stage.
That's 10 minutes of the game, and it's 4-2, but I don't think it was a deciding factor, because like you could pick different 10 minutes and we lost different periods of it. It's just because that was a sin bin, maybe might come under scrutiny a little bit more. But at that stage we had, I think, Limerick up their game. We dominated, I think, the first water break. Again, kept them in a really good freeze, I think, to a large degree. But then they played really well in the second quarter and came out fighting in the second half. I thought we matched it in the main, but as I say, you can't play a team like Limerick and have that kind of a conversion now.
You've been into the qualifiers now, and by the teams that have been knocked out today, that's going to be a championship in itself.
Oh yeah, I think the qualifier would like to be a mini championship, and that's, look, we knew that coming up here. Like, there's great teams going to be in the back door, and there'll be great teams in the front door, and the hurling championship is going to be like that, and a condensed championship, which this is. Every game is a championship, and I don't think that can be, like, we didn't see this today as another opportunity game. We saw it as a game we wanted to win, and that's the way we approached it. But unfortunately, it didn't work out that way.
Kieran, were you disappointed that you couldn't create as many goal chances as you had been during the league, or was that always going to be the case against a team like Limerick?
Absolutely, it was always going to be the 100%. That was always going to be the case. Like, I mean, they have a fantastic defence there. They have a very mean defence, and we see that over the last number of years, so we knew that coming up. We weren't just going to be trying to run the ball through them. And I said this before to the lads during the league, some games you might target goals, others you might, and you've got to vary your play. And if you're playing a team like Limerick, they will vary their play. They shoot from half back line, they shoot from midfield, then they'll take it on from half forward line. They'll vary, and we have to do the same. You're not going to beat the best unless you have options like that.
And did you feel that lessons were learned from the league game in the Gaelic Grounds, like that overall it was a better performance, even though the scoreboard mightn't say that?
Well, I suppose you'd be the best judges of that. Like, you're sitting up high here, it's hard to judge it from the line, so you'd be the best. I'll probably hear or read what you guys say about it. But I mean, I thought our lads give it their all. But as I said earlier, you can't beat a team like Limerick, and having a 50% conversion rate is just not possible.
And what will it be like now to pick the lads up for the qualifiers?
Look, of course it won't be simple, especially for the next couple of days, but that's the game we're in. That's why you play hurling, that's why we're involved in management, and that's the challenge. You've got to review it, take the pain, take what goes with it, and get back on the horse again on Tuesday night and focus on the next day. That's the game we're in.
Preparations are hampered here with a couple of injuries going into the game as well.
Oh yeah, well, look, we have a 36-man panel, and every team are going to have injuries, and you only hear a percentage of them. You hear this fella might be out or that fella might be out, but every team, like if you're training like inter-county teams train now, you're always going to have fellas going in with knocks and going in with injuries, because it's not possible. You can't train one way, train and mind everyone, and then the day the game turn up and they're all going to be going full on. You have to train that way if you want to play that way. So you're always going to have niggleton injuries, and that's why you have a panel, and we trust the guys. We trust the 20 we can use every day, and we trust the 36 we have a training. So I would never say we were missing anyone or hampered, because that would be disrespectful to the lads who are on the team or on the panel or with us today.
You were to take one positive from today?
Our Alshon was really good. We never give up. We fought to the bitter end. Like, lads, we must realise we were up against a serious team today, you know, and sometimes we might forget that. So I thought we took the fight to them for many parts of the game and dominated many parts of the game. I don't know what you thought of it, like, but I said where I was sitting. But as I said, you can't make the mistakes we made and miss the scores.
If you go to the qualifiers again and you get a win, you know, you're right back in the horse again, as you said, like, and it would give this team a huge lift, and I think that's probably what Cork need.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're a lot of young lads there today, and we've three guys making their debut, and we brought on guys making their debut, so we've a lot of new fellas on there, and you see some fellas who played in All-Ireland final coming up next week. Now two lads there that come in having All-Ireland final under 20 coming up next week, and they're both under 20 again in 2021. So young guys, and guys made their debut, but I think we'll have a big say in the championship yet.
Hopefully Kieran Kingston is right, and Cork do have a very, very big say in the championship yet. They go in, as we said, to the All-Ireland qualifiers in 2 weeks' time. Well, it is the Munster final for Limerick. That was Cork boss Kieran Kingston there speaking to us after Cork's defeat up in Limerick, or up in Semple Stadium last night to Limerick. The final score there, Limerick 222, Cork 117. And now we'll hear the reaction after the match of Limerick boss John Kiley.
First of all, congratulations on that, back into Munster final.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Happy with the performance. It was real championship fair, you know. Real contrast to actually last year's games. You know, the atmosphere, I suppose, was real, and the game ebbed and flowed. We had periods where we were in ascendancy, and they had their purple patches too. You know, during the game where they were causing us difficulties. You know, so overall, very pleased.
That was probably due to the fans as well. I know there was only 2,400 here, but they did make noise, John.
Oh, jeez, yeah, absolutely, yeah. No, they added hugely to the occasion, but listen, the bottom line for us is getting through, and I think coming into the game, for us, like, it was about trying to get a performance, and at times, you know, we really found it, but at other times then, we just lacked that little bit of accuracy, maybe, you know, but I think second half, one key aspect was that, you know, we had 5 yellow cards coming into it. We didn't take those guys off. We trusted them to be disciplined in their tackling, and they were. And we didn't pick up another yellow in the second half, which I think was a really telling factor. We were very, very disciplined in the second half in our tackling, and that meant that we were able to track down these guys in their runs and turn them over on our own 21, our own 45, and counter-attack where the space was then afterwards. So hats off to the lads in the second half. I thought they did fantastically well, and the boys off our bench made a huge impact, I thought, in the last 20 minutes as well.
What about the referee's performance today? A few questionable decisions?
My job isn't to assess the referee's performance. That's somebody else's. I don't know who they are, but anyway, listen, it is what. Peter Casey?
Yeah, do you know when he was yellow?
I don't know. I'd have to see it back. Probably Conor Boylan's one was the one that maybe jumped out at me as being maybe one that we thought might have gone the other way, but listen, it didn't. So I'll have to look at it back. I haven't seen it, but all told, listen, it was a good, tough battle, lads, and you know, we're just delighted to get through.
John, you talk about these big championship moments. Nicky Quaid's save, I think he went on to score 2-4 to 2 points after that against Cork, against them today. Is that a big momentum shifter?
Yeah, these are big moments in games, you know. You trust these guys to pull off these saves, you know. Patrick Horgan on a penalty, like, he's, you back him 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100, you know. But to be fair to Nicky, you know, he did his job and did it really well. He picked up the spoil then as well and distributed the ball well, you know. I think, listen, we really battened the hatches there. I think in particular in the last 20 minutes, you know, we turned over a load of ball in our defence that they had taken into it, and, you know, we used it well and we created lots more scoring chances. Now, listen, we've a good wide total to go after as well. You know, we wouldn't be happy with our shooting overall, and maybe from where we shot at times, but that's something for us to go back to next week when we go back to training ground.
A first time, I suppose, you had a player in the sin bin when Peter Casey was away for the 10 minutes. Is that something that you think about ahead of the game tactically? Because you didn't seem to lose momentum, and even when he came on, he was ready for road. I think he was involved in the first goal, and it was like he was revitalised after coming on after the 10 minutes.
No, listen, to be fair to Paul Kinnerk, he did organise while I was thinking about it. He had it done, you know, and, you know, that's what he's really good at, and he had it. He'd literally started within a second, you know. He spotted it straight away what needed to be done, and he got it done. So, you know, I think it's a great experience for us to have been actually through now as a team. You know, if that happens again, you know, we've had that experience, and, you know, it mightn't have liked it at the time or wanted it at the time, but it didn't punish us, which is a great testament to how hard the team worked during that period, and it's a good reference point for us going forward into the next series of matches.
The critics have maybe been saying that Limerick don't score enough goals. Those two just before half time really helped to turn the game on its head. Two fantastic goals.
They were two great moves. I'm delighted with them. We've been working hard for many years on our goal taking. Okay, sometimes they don't come about, but I think the boys worked the ball really well in those key last couple of passes in there in the final third for those two moves. They were very good moves, and we finished them off really well, and hats off to the lads, you know. It'll give them great confidence going forward.
Those two goals then give you the 6-point cushion, and he held that right through the match. That was really important. I think that was a real game changer, as well as Nicky Quaid's save. But you were able to, you know, just play your game in the second half with that cushion.
Yeah, it didn't feel like a cushion, to be fair. You know, it felt like a drawn game at many stages during that second half. And, you know, every single score was valuable at that stage. And, you know, we kept creating scoring chances, and we didn't allow the errors or the mishits or the drop shots to affect us. We kept going after it.
Okay,
but at the same time, we have a huge amount to go back and work on, you know, because we wouldn't be altogether happy with all of that.
That's Limerick boss John Kiely giving his reaction to the Cork and Limerick game last night, and Limerick victorious 222 to 117. And they march on to the Munster final. It's the qualifiers for Cork. For more now on Cork's defeat to Limerick yesterday, Rory has been speaking to two-time All-Ireland winner with the Rebels, Granaz Tom Kenny, chatting to Roar.
Limerick didn't play up to their usual high standards in terms of, you know, what they get out of the game. But in saying that, they still chopped up 222. I don't think Cork were overly poor. I think just their execution of what they probably weren't doing in training wasn't up to scratch, you know. It was like, I remember thinking the second wall break in the second half, saying, God, that's a pity, because the chance was there for Cork to win the game. Yet 10 minutes later, when there was only 4 or 5 points in it, Cork could have actually, it was nearly there for them, you know. Limerick were hitting ball after ball wide, but they never really just grasped the Cork, you know. I think they're, from a managing point of view, I think they'd be more disappointed with the level of performance than the result as such, because I think they need to start focusing on performances, you know.
The big talking point, Tom, was, I suppose, Patrick Horgan's penalty miss in the first half, and it felt to me like the Cork heads dropped a little bit after that, and you could see the response from the Limerick players to that. They were pumped up, and you could see the Cork heads drop. Is that something you felt?
Yeah, it definitely looked that way, Rory, you know. I suppose for such Patrick Horgan, for the standards he set over the last 13 years or 14 years, whatever it is, you know, I suppose when a player of his calibre has a penalty saved, he probably deflated the Cork players a small bit, and Limerick got a bit of a bounce out of it. Anytime, you know, a penalty is saved in any sport, it gives the team a bit of a bounce, and it kind of changed the game for a few minutes. All right, if, you know, if Cork had that penalty, they would have been 5 points up, would have put a different spin in the game. Limerick probably would have had to force the issue a small bit more in the first half,
and chances are the half would have finished out differently than what it did. So between Cork missing the penalty and Limerick going down, getting two goals, would not be a soft that, you know, it put a totally different complexion on the game. Especially for what Cork did in the first half, you know, they did a lot of things right and they got themselves into a good position, and it was just kind of taken away in the blink of an eye before half time.
And Patrick Horgan had an off day by his standards yesterday, no score from play, just 5 frees yesterday. Was it just a case that he was having a poor game, or had Limerick done their homework on him and kind of kept him out of the game?
I think he was having, by his standards, he wasn't having a great game. And look, for over the last 10 years, I was trying to think this morning, when was the last time you could say Patrick Horgan played a game like that, and I couldn't remember a game, you know. So to be fair to him, you'd have to give him credit in that he's allowed an off day. Maybe the fact that he missed the penalty and he missed the free and he wasn't getting any ball from play, that he was beginning to play in his mind. And I suppose, I don't know whether it was by design through the pressure of the game or whether it was a tactic going into the game, but a lot of the ball going into him was very high and very kind of defensive, you know, it was suiting the defenders. And he just couldn't get going at all. And normally, for a free kick, you can't get going. You know, you get a few frees, you put them over, get a penalty, score, the next thing you're in the game, and the players need to kind of be mindful of you. But it never got going for them. And I think that eventually kind of started to seep through the rest of the team, you know. The level of performance and the execution just wasn't up there, you know.
I suppose, Tom, I mean, like, we talked about the penalty miss, but I suppose the game really swung in that 2 minutes of time added on at the end of the first half, and Limerick got those two goals. All of a sudden, you're going into the halftime break 6 points down, and Kieran Kingston's halftime speech is completely different at that point. I mean, like, how big a factor were those two goals?
Oh, huge. Like, if Cork went in at halftime, we'd be even just in the position of a draw. You know, it would have been a way more positive. While the management probably kept the team top positive, there would have been a sense of deflation after the two goals. You know, the first one was very unlucky for Sean O'Donoghue as a defender. You're bound to just natural reaction and put up your hurley to try and stop it, you know. And it affected its way over the way at Patrick Collins. I actually thought for Cork fell asleep and tracking Kyle Hayes' run for the second goal. But at the same time, I thought he did carry a few steps going around the challenge. Now, I know he'd get away with it as a tackle, but it was a fantastic finish from his point of view. But I think Cork were unlucky in that he could have been blown for steps. But it did put a damper on Cork's performance in the first half. And I suppose being All-Ireland champions in Limerick, you know, it kind of fussed out for All-Ireland champions in that they weren't up to scratch, they weren't up to their usual self, but they were nearly on autopilot in the second half and just got, I won't say going through the motions, but they kind of knew subconsciously what they needed to do and they just got it done, you know.
It's a young Cork team as well, I suppose, Tom. Like, you three newcomers yesterday in Jerm Mellerick, Jack O'Connor, Shane Barrett as well. So, I mean, like, there are positives for Cork, I suppose, to take from the performance, bleeding young fellas like that into the senior setup.
Definitely, yeah. And look, Shane Barrett came on, Sean O'Leary Hayes came on, and Alan Connolly came on, and Jack O'Connor is going well as well. Jerm Mellerick is on the team. Look, you have a new goalkeeper, you know, after Anthony Nash has been there for the last 10, 11 years. So from that point of view, it's great to see so many new faces coming into the setup. And there's an under-20 final next weekend, you know, so more faces from that might come along. And as I said, I suppose Cork are going through, it's hard to say they're going through a period of transition in the sense that from an All-Ireland perspective, we haven't been successful over the last number of years, but there is new players coming into the setup, and it's nearly at the point where they need to focus on the performance and let the results look after itself, and that being realistic, I suppose, Cork are a long way from winning the All-Ireland when you look at the likes of Limerick yesterday and how much they've left in the tank, the Kilkenny Wexford game and what a fantastic game that was. It's like Cork are probably a bit away from where they need to be results-wise, but I think performance-wise, if they start focusing more on that, it might aid them, you know, a year or two down the line. I think it would probably be a disappointing feature for the management as well, might be the amount of tackles and hooking and blocking within. I don't think there was too many in the game from a Cork perspective, and I know Donal O'Grady being involved, but that would be a big part of his kind of coaching style, that whole tackling and hooking and blocking, you know. Even at the start of the game, we probably gave away a couple of soft frees from poor tackling, you know, that instead of going in, standing up the tackler and trying to win the ball, you know, we were kind of going in for the big hits. And those kind of small things kind of can turn the game a lot. I know they might, in the first minute or two, you might not think anything of them, but you know, if you get a good, decent tackle in there and dispossess a player or turn over the ball, then he leads to being done correctly throughout the game. And from that perspective, I think they might be a bit disappointed, all right.
I suppose it's been 16 years now since Cork last won the All-Ireland. I mean, like, the pressure, I suppose, that's on the Cork team kind of grows every year. Do you reckon they feel that, or is it just something that we kind of talk about as kind of pundits and fans?
I suppose it is a lot of outside talk. Look, being there a number of years ago inside the camp, you know, you try to switch off from it. You try to just listen to what's been said inside. But it's hard to not listen to what's being said outside, especially when it's, you know, when you're not being successful, I suppose. And I don't think it's pressure they put on themselves, but it's just an external pressure, you know, from the lads who are going to work now and whatnot, you know, for the next few days, and they'll be meeting people and be hearing people talk, and, you know, people will be saying stuff about not winning All Ireland, and they need to do this and they need to do that, and they might be listening to this and say, why is he saying all that kind of stuff? And it's hard not to listen to it, and it seeps in. But I think that it has been a long spell for Cork hurling. They've been unlucky at times. I know luck gets you nowhere, you know, but in 2013 they're unlucky not to win in All Ireland. You think of their performances against Limerick in the Championship, I suppose. They've played Limerick four times over the last, or five times maybe over the last number of years, and I don't know, do Limerick have two wins? Cork have a win or two, and there's a draw, you know, so they haven't been that far away from Limerick. They drew a game in Croke Park 3 years ago, and arguably should have won it when we were 6 points up, but 6 minutes to go. And who's to say that Cork wouldn't progress in the trajectory that Limerick did, you know? So it is fine margins there in the county, but I'd like to think, I suppose, that the players hear it, but hear it for the right reasons, the outside talk, you know?
Qualifiers now for Cork in 2 weeks, but no matter who Cork is, it looks like it's going to be a very, very tough draw.
It is. Look, you've Wexford in there, you've Galway in there, ourselves, Leash are in there, Antrim. No, it is going to be a very, very difficult draw, and I suppose that's the way you want it, in the sense, even if you went through the front door, and you still like to get a good game in the qualifiers. Ideally, I suppose you get one of the lesser known teams, Leash or Antrim, and build a performance to go to the next level. But arguably you could get Galway as well, and it could be up in Pierce Stadium, you know, and that could be a very, very difficult game. But I suppose we can't lose sight of the fact that Cork are trying to bring through a few new players. There's another 20 All-Ireland to be played. I don't think we can judge the season on whether Cork win the All-Ireland or not. I think we need to judge it on whether we bring true players, whether we kind of bring up a performance. Like yesterday, I suppose Cork needed everything to go right for them and for Limerick to have the off day that they had. But from here on in, you know, I suppose Cork need to perform to a certain level, and I hope that's good enough. And if not, then we need to see what more needs to be done to get to a higher level, you know.
I know Limerick weren't at their very best yesterday, but will anyone catch them this year?
I suppose based on the performance yesterday and what they left behind them in terms of scores, in terms of their normal efficiency, it's hard to see that people will, but that kind of unstructured play that Kilkenny and Wexford had yesterday can catch Limerick out. You know, Limerick are a very structured outfit. They know what they need to do. They know where they need to hit the ball to. But when they come up against a team that can kind of play off the cuff a small bit, it can catch them. But I suppose it all depends on their mental side of things, and that will they be fully tuned into going into the next game. They'll have learned a lot from yesterday's game in terms of what more they need to do. And John Kiely made the big calls, you know, he brought off Aaron Gillan, Seamus Flanagan, Garrod Morrissey, Tom Morrissey, all these big players came off, so those four players you'd imagine will have a point to prove the next day. But look, they're front and centre up there in running for their Ireland, and it'll be a team with kind of some unstructured kind of style might catch on.
And how good was that Kilkenny Wexford game yesterday? It was just breathtaking stuff, wasn't it?
It was fantastic. It was end-to-end, you know. I suppose they were saying in the commentary, I think Wexford went 4 points up at one stage and Kilkenny could come down and get the next few scores, and they did. And likewise, Wexford came back down and got it. But it was end-to-end stuff. I suppose it was aided in truth by the honest endeavour of the players and Fergie Horgan's interpretation of the rules. I suppose in the league, everything has been blown and it was a free fest, but whether it was by instruction or his own decision making, he let the game flow in terms of how it should be played. It was a fantastic game, and I know a lot of people should have been saying, "God, I should have went to Ethiopia and play next weekend." But I think, you know, I think it's better to finish it on the day, maybe barring Ireland semi-final or final, you know, just to get the games played and keep the rounds moving and keep the championship moving, especially both in the current pandemic situation. But yeah, it was fantastic, and it was a shame to see a loser.
Yeah,
but that's the way it goes, I suppose.
Yeah, it was an absolute cracker. Tom, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. Thanks very much for joining us on the Big Red Bench.
No matter, Rory, my pleasure.
That is Tom Kenny chatting to Roar there about Cork's defeat to Limerick in the Munster Hurling Championship semi-final up in Semple Stadium yesterday evening. Now, Cork and Limerick meet again next weekend, but it's in the football, and it is the Munster semi-final in the football next weekend. That is on Saturday at 3 p.m. So we'll be looking ahead to that. We'll hear from some of the footballers, Ian Maguire, Micheál Martin and Matty Taylor as well between now and 7 o'clock. But before we go and preview that game, we're going to be chatting rugby next. Tomorrow, O'Leary will be joining me for a chat about the Lions tour of South Africa, and they got off to a winning start yesterday. So all that, plenty more to come between now and 7 here on the Big Red Bench.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM. Miss the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.
Yeah, it is the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Red FM. It's Cullum O'Sullivan with you. And we're here until 7. Loads of sport. Busy, busy weekend. So much going on between the GAA and the golf and the rugby and the football and the Euros and so on. We're going to be previewing the Cork Footballers Championship opener in just a little while. We'll hear from Micheál Martin is going to join us. No, not the Taoiseach. He's not going to join us to chat about it. Although he was at the hurling I saw up in Semple Stadium yesterday. But his young fella, his son, Cork goalkeeper, Micheál Martin will be joining us. Ian Maguire, the Cork captain. We'll hear from Matty Taylor as well. I chatted to all of them during the week. But first, I want to talk rugby and the Lions. They're over in South Africa. The tour has gone ahead despite the COVID situation in South Africa, and it's going well for the Lions so far. They won their warm-up game before they left against Japan last week, and then their opening game was against the Sigma Lions. So it was a battle of the Lions yesterday. The Sigma Lions versus the British and Irish Lions, and it was our Lions, the British and Irish Lions, who were victorious. Not surprisingly, Josh Adams got 4 tries in that game. He was man of the match as well. And it was a convincing scoreline, a comprehensive scoreline. 56 points to 14 was the final score for the Lions against the Sigma Lions in South Africa yesterday. And we're going to chat now to Munster and Ireland legend Tomás O'Leary to get his views on the Lions tour. Tomás, how are you keeping? How's it going?
I'm great, Cullum. How's it far with you?
Not too bad at all. So a good start for the Lions yesterday, Tomás. A good comprehensive victory, I suppose, as well, by a good scoreline, 56 points to 14.
Yeah, look, as expected. You know, these kind of, I suppose, midweek games, as you call them, in the tour, you know, they're kind of to build a bit of morale and to get everyone a kind of game time and to start kind of seeing the pecking order for the test games against South Africa. Obviously, the test against Japan last week was a pretty stern test, which Lions came through, I suppose, pretty well. And as you said, now the game this weekend, a very comfortable victory, really. And you can see that by the scoreline. And I suppose the likes of Josh Adams, you know, getting man of the match and 4 tries. Luis Rhys-Samet as well, getting a try after a couple of minutes. So, yeah, pretty comfortable victory, but it's just about kind of getting the players to kind of gel and put their hand up really for the test starting places.
Yeah, and it gives them a chance to kind of these games to swap fellas around and try lots of different fellas out. There were no Irish players in the team for this game yesterday, but obviously there were for last week's game. So of the Irish guys now, like, do you think anyone who was playing yesterday will be putting their places under threat?
It's hard to tell, you know. It's an interesting selection of Farrell at 12. It's going to indicate where the management are looking at him, but you'd have to say that Robbie Henshaw is probably going to be you know, favourite for a starting place, whether he ends up 12 or 13, and they might go with Bundy Aki to kind of complement him at 12. Obviously, two of them haven't played together and having a successful partnership at Connacht and I suppose at Irish level as well. So I think the Irish lads are probably the favourites to get the centre partnership, really. Aside from that, you know, you'd have to say, you know, there's probably Tadhg Furlong seems to be nailed on as a starter. Even Tadhg Byrne now has done really well in his Lions debut, scoring a try as well last week. And, you know, that kind of X factor that he brings at the breakdown and as well in open play, you know, I think he's got a good chance as well. But I think, you know, it's very competitive, obviously. You know, Courtney Law is probably different type of player than he is, Tadhg Byrne, but I think thought he played well as well yesterday, but again, he's probably more destructive in defence. So it'll all depend really on how the management, I suppose, decide to approach it and what kind of tactics they try to employ against South Africa. So it's kind of hard to tell it in these early stages, but I think Tadhg Furlong anyway is nailed on. Bobby Henshaw, and then you kind of the likes of Tadhg Byrne and Aki are probable starters at this stage.
Robbie Henshaw is out of Wednesday's game with what is described as a mild hamstring injury, so he should be fine for most of the tour. So he's going to miss Wednesday's game against the Sharks. That's another game the Lions will be hoping to get the victory there, they'd imagine. And they have the Bulls then next weekend as well. And then it's South Africa A, and then after that you're into the real games. So these are kind of all, as you say, Tomás, just a build-up really, aren't they?
They are, exactly. Look, with respect to all these different teams, you know, they won't have the quality to, or they shouldn't have the quality to beat the Lions anyway. You know, they might test them at different stages, but as I said, it's about different combinations being tried out together, and then like individuals putting their hand up with I suppose good performances. So you know, a lot of the, I suppose, the manager will probably have a fair idea as to how they want their line or their testing to look at the moment, and it's down then to, I suppose, different injuries and different form kind of maybe changing that slightly. But, you know, they'll very much have a plan in stage, a place at this stage. And, you know, it looks like Dan Biggar is going to be favoured for the starting spot at 10. You know, he'd be preferred to Finn Russell, because Finn Russell obviously is probably a bit looser. And you don't really want, you know, your 10 throwing very loose balls against the hard up and in defence that South Africa have. So unless, you know, he's a dip in form, unless he gets injured, you'd have to say that he probably is going to be starting the first test match against South Africa. So, yeah, these matches are great in terms of, I suppose, building morale, building confidence, and getting the Lions, I suppose, used to their different starter players and set piece. So, yeah, look, it's kind of, I suppose, the lack of atmosphere as well around, you know, lack of fans, the lack of the ability for them to mix with fans, go and socialise. It must be a weird kind of, I suppose, tour for these guys to be on. So it's all about building up to the test, really, and that's what these games are going to be used for.
Yeah, it's a strange Lions tour, as you say, Tomás, really, the way the COVID situation especially is in South Africa. It's pretty bad over there still. And, I mean, there was a bit of doubt even in the weeks building up, would it actually go ahead? So I think they're probably just happy to be there at this stage.
Yeah, exactly. And look, all the players were given their vaccinations. But look, by the sounds of it, South Africa is not a good place to be. So yeah, look, it's going to be disappointing, but there's going to be no fans in place. But look, on the flip side, it's great to have a bit of hopefully top class quality rugby. You know, the three tests hopefully will be very competitive. And look, at the moment, it's very hard to call it, because look, South Africa played their first game since the World Cup final this week, and this is very much aligned to a team that is trying to gel together. So it's going to be interesting, but hopefully, you know, we'll get three crackers of tests and keep us entertained over the next kind of month.
Absolutely. And just finally, Tomás, before we let you go, just a word for Ireland yesterday as well against Japan.
Yeah, look, a very good victory, because Japan are, you know, as we saw against the Lions last week, and as we saw in our most recent World Cup where they beat us, they're a very, very good side. To some of the tries that Japan scored were unbelievable. A very skillful side, very quick side. So Ireland to get a victory over them, you know, I think it's very, very positive for Andy Farrell. And I think, you know, even the likes of Gav, you know, the Munster number 8, Gavin Coombs, coming on for his debut. I think it's very exciting, I suppose, for the young Munster players being involved as well. So, yeah, very, very positive. And, you know, missing a lot of their frontliners away with the Lions, I think very, very positive signs for Andy Farrell.
Great stuff. All right, Tomás, listen, we let you go. Thanks a million for chatting to us, and we'll chat to you again over the course of the Lions tour, I'm sure.
Cheers, Cole. Catch up soon, bud.
Absolutely. And we're going to switch now back to Gaelic games. And we were talking about Cork and Limerick in the hurling last night a little while ago. Now we're going to talk about Cork and Limerick in the football next weekend. It's the Cork Footballers Championship opener next Saturday afternoon in the Gaelic grounds in Limerick. And it is the Munster semi-final. It's Cork versus Limerick. And during the week, I was out at the CIT training ground with the Cork lads and spoke to quite a few of them, including, firstly, Cork captain Ian McGuire.
Okay, Ian, championship time again. I mean, the buzz must be building now, and after a very strange year, it must be great to be nearly ready to get down to business.
Yeah, to be fair, coming back into training, it's after happening so quick in terms of the 4 weeks before the league and the actual National League itself. Like, it just seems like it's after flying, like, in terms of just playing games, and week on week the kind of preparation, it almost feels like when you finish a game the next game is on top of you, like. So no, it's been, there's been a serious buzz in training, and to be fair, I suppose in contrast to last year, obviously the weather and the, like, the shortness of the championship compared to this year with the league and the weather being much better, that there's been a different feel to it, like. But rowing into championship now, you're kind of 14-10 days out, like, it's really exciting. It's, you just can't beat it, like, in terms of that little, that nervousness, but that excitement of what's to come in the summer, you know. And I suppose with the lockdown in January and February and the level of uncertainty, like, there's this real excitement there. And I suppose with every championship that I've ever been a part of, it's just that sense of opportunity that you have going into the championship, that it's just, you can't beat it, like. And we're just really looking forward to it again. And I suppose looking at Limerick at the weekend, they're a serious opposition. We played them 2 years ago in championship, and to be fair, last year they were a kick of a ball away from a Munster final as well. So again, it's all to play for. Really looking forward to it, like, you know yourself.
You mentioned how intense the league campaign was, back-to-back weeks. I mean, it didn't seem to stop there for a few weeks. Was that a good preparation for the championship, do you think, or would you have rather a little bit more downtime in between games?
Personally, before it, because I actually liked, in terms of the 7-day turnaround, because it's so quick, because with championship, like, in the old method, you could play a championship game, you might be out for 3 weeks, even with club, like, there's that long extended period, where with the league this year and even with championship, that it's very quick, like, it's a good way to prepare, because I suppose it's hard to keep your intensity and your level of concentration, say, spanned over 3-4 months. Well, I go longer, 5-6 months or something, but this time it seems like 4 to 6 weeks, and then you can you kind of come down, and then you're building back up the championship again, like. So for me, I personally before the league, and it was very good. And I suppose we started out with a loss against Kildare, which was ultimately very disappointing, but you're straight back into it then 6 days later, win against Leash, win against Clare, all of a sudden then you have a good bit of momentum.
Yeah, and it's a good campaign,
and we'd won 3 out of 4, like. So we actually had a lot of momentum going into the summer, which is a very good thing, and it happened over a short period of time. So, like, you're not looking back on how you played in February, you're looking back on how you played 3 weeks ago. So that's a big plus from Cork's perspective, anyway, from my perspective.
Now, championship around the corner, and we've had the league campaign, but if you go back before that, I mean, the uncertainty that was there for yourselves and for everybody involved in GAA and in sport in general about if championship would go ahead, if games would go ahead, how they'd go ahead, when they'd go ahead. How did you react to that as players?
It was actually it was strange in the sense that, like, I suppose if we're bringing it all the way back to, say, March 2020, I try and be as positive as possible. I always felt like we were going to have a championship no matter what, you know. And I suppose there would have been a higher level of uncertainty back then, because obviously COVID had just been introduced. But I suppose it was no different come December and January. You always felt there was going to be a competition. It was just a matter of when. And I suppose what was different, say, this time around compared to last year, was that it seemed like the deadline or the date was changing. So you kind of have, like, you're almost being teased to a certain extent. So that was frustrating. But I suppose you were always preparing for, I suppose, the April kind of May window. So I think fellas in the back of their heads were always trying to prepare themselves with their individual training for April, May. So it wasn't too bad. But I suppose ultimately it's frustrating because, like, for me anyway, and I suppose a lot of people, GAA's community and the community is just part of their lives, like. And it's almost like with COVID, it was just taken away from you. So, like, even from a club perspective, that kind of routine that you had of being out the club or being, say, training 3-4 times a week was gone. So it was a very tough transition, but that was just the nature of it. It's the same as working from home, like. But I suppose the reward is, and I think I can speak for all the lads here, is that how, I suppose, honoured you are that you have an opportunity now to represent your county overall, but in these tough circumstances, like, it's ideal. Like, the hurlers going out at the weekend, like, it's the talk of the places that you can't wait to go out and see Cork play, like. And it'll be no different for the football. So, like, as a player, like, you're humbled by the opportunity that you have. Others might have it, like, and others might not have. Sorry, I'm getting dunked out there, but I suppose it's a class feeling, because ultimately GAA is community, and again, it feels like things are kind of somewhere back to normal, like that things are back in motion.
Absolutely, and hopefully it continues on that path. Yeah. Looking at the opponents now, Limerick, I mean, you look at them in the last game, I think they scored something like 418. It was a big win for them over Waterford. They're going to be confident coming in now as well. They're in good form themselves. They're scoring well.
So I suppose for us, if we take Limerick, we would have played them in championship in 2019. And to be fair, we were going fairly well at the time. And actually so were they, because they had a big win against Tipperary. And I suppose we got ahead early, and maybe the scoreline was probably a bit flattering. But fast forward 12 months, we actually played them in the McGrath Cup, and they beat us. And they deserved to beat us in the final. And it was in the Gaelic grounds. So there'll be, make no bones about it, we won't be taking Limerick for granted. They're a very well organised team by Billy Lee. They're actually very fit, judging by how they finished the league. Even though they lost to Derry, they played very well, and they have a couple of big players, like, led by Ian Corbett, for example. Like, he's been around the block, like. But Limerick are a very good opposition. I suppose Cork aren't in a position to take anyone for granted, and we certainly won't be taking Limerick for granted. And I suppose it's a great opportunity again that we're there's probably an element of like how will Cork perform, etc. Like, but going up to the Gaelic grounds to play a good Limerick team, in my own opinion, like that's what you want. Like, so it's again, it's a great opportunity. It's really exciting, and like I personally can't wait, because there was a like Dara Tracy for Limerick is a fellow I would have marked with colleges. He was CIT, he was UCC, so like there's a familiar with Dara Tracy, you know, for example. And hopefully Ronan picks me, like, but again, like, just Limerick, they're kind of neighbours. There's a lot of crossover between UCC and CIT, like, so we know each other, and look, it's going to be a right battle. Like, Limerick are fiery, like, and that's the way they always are, like, so it'll be a big battle again.
You'd love to have a few more supporters there, I suppose. I mean, you're looking at the way the crowds are at games now. I think it's going to be going up to 500 in July in stadiums of that size. But I mean, you look then at, say, the Euro 2020 games on TV over in Wembley, and there's 60,000 there. Would you like, as players, obviously you'd love to have more supporters in there, but do you think we're a bit slow getting the fans back?
Yeah, like, that one, to be honest, I don't really know, because, obviously, like, I'm on Twitter and stuff like that, like, so you just listen to what you're told to a certain extent, and obviously it's very frustrating that obviously when you see the Euros going ahead and you see the crowds, like, you just, not that it's a missed opportunity or anything, it's just that, like, you'd love to have what they have, like, you know, but I suppose you just kind of have to have the patience. And as a player, like, I suppose I was lucky because the Bears Castlehaven was actually one of the last games, so that had crowds in it, like, and it was just, there was a super atmosphere. So I'd spin that and saying that, like, if it's 500, if it's 1,000 or whoever, like 2,500 are going in for the Limerick car game at the weekend, so I think, like, there could be a super atmosphere, and you just have to take it for what it is at the moment, like, and you just have to wait it out, like. But I'd like to think that the atmosphere that was there for that game with 200, you think that'll go through the roof so with 2,500, but I'm just trying to be as positive as possible in terms of that, like. But you'd like to think, I think I seen the Leinster Championship, it's going up gradually, like, so you suppose you have to be optimistic. And I think with the appetite that's there at the moment, that there will be a serious atmosphere, albeit there could be more, but I think there will be still a good atmosphere for players there. Like, it'll be something different too, because at the end of the day, like, it was the solace of referees and players talking on the pitch, but it'll be something different now with more fans there, like, this time around.
Absolutely. And listen, best of luck, and hopefully it's a great championship campaign.
One, thanks a million.
All right, that is Cork captain Ian Maguire chatting to me during the week ahead of the Munster semi-final for the footballers with Limerick at 3 o'clock next Saturday in the Gaelic grounds up in Limerick. I also got a chance to speak to Cork goalkeeper Micheál Martin as well.
Right, Micheál, excitement building. Championship season is upon us. The weather is lovely. It's a real summer feeling, and I'm sure it's great as a player, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Can't wait. You know, we had a long winter waiting for games, and it was brilliant to get back in the league and have, I suppose, 4 games in 5 weeks. And now to be looking forward to championship is brilliant. Yeah, can't wait.
I was chatting to the lads there, and I was asking them about the intensity of the 4 games in 5 weeks. You didn't really get any downtime. Was that exactly what you needed after a long winter, long layoff, or would you have rather maybe it spread out a bit more?
I suppose it was what it was. You know, I know that obviously the calendar is very important, that club players get a window as well, so understand totally why it was such a short window. But I suppose I'd say management and medical teams would certainly have preferred another 2 or 3 weeks as a player. Well, as a goalkeeper anyway, I found it great. I didn't mind at all. But obviously weeks 3 and 4, you could see our injury list was starting to pile up, and, you know, based on, you know, what you'd be seeing or hearing around the country, it's very similar in a lot of counties. So from that point of view, I suppose, look, 4 weeks, 4 games in 5 weeks with very little build up, it probably was a lot to ask. But, you know, I at the same time, I did enjoy it.
I suppose you didn't have that real training time as a group for very long beforehand as well. Obviously, you were probably doing your own individual training during the lockdown back in January, February, March kind of time. But as a group, you didn't have a big build up together.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? That was probably the bigger issue. And, you know, we'd play four games in 5 weeks if you had a stronger base, I think no problem. But it was that, the fact that, you know, your preseason is so shortened, and that probably presented the biggest challenge for management, for medical teams, for coaching. But I think from the players' point of view, we're just delighted to get on the pitch. We didn't think too much about that. I suppose we leave the management deal with those kind of worries, and we were just happy to be back out together as a group. As you said, you know, I think the Zoom meetings, etc., had run their course at that point, and we were just glad to see each other again and to get training and get our hands on the ball.
And excited now to face Limerick in the championship. And he played Limerick in the championship and beat Limerick in the championship 2 years ago in 2019. They're on the back of a very good win themselves, a high scoring win last week. They'll be in confident mood. Will you look back at that game 2 years ago, or is it a clean slate now? Is it too far back to be looking at that?
Yeah, I think it's too far back to look at, to be quite honest. They didn't just have a very good game against Waterford. You know, they had a very good Division 3. I think they were unlucky in that the split of the leagues Derry were on their side. Derry had a very good league and went up, but they equally, I think if Limerick were on the other side, they could well have got promoted to Division 2. It wasn't just one game against Waterford, so I think we'll be going off those games, the National League games this year, and their game against Waterford as much more of games that we can take learnings from for our game now.
Should be a cracker of a game. I mean, both of you had 3 wins out of 4. They've had a good league campaign. The win over Waterford, both teams in very good form going into it.
Yeah, I think so, hopefully. And I suppose that's what we've been kind of seeing to date throughout the league. It's been entertaining football, high scoring, probably too high scoring for our liking a lot of the time, and
very high scoring across the board, both hurling and football, isn't it?
It has, yeah, and I suppose it's obviously given us something to work on. I've no doubt that other teams are the same, you know, something you want to address, but you know, it's the nature of, I suppose, hard ground teams are playing attacking football. I think it'll be similar against Limerick. You know, they like to attack, they've an excellent running game, and you know yeah, I think it'll be should be a very entertaining game for supporters.
Championship is highly anticipated this season. It's always anticipated, but I think there's a real appetite for it this year. It's a bit of normality for people, and hopefully, I suppose, you can get more supporters into the game sooner rather than later as well.
Yeah, that's the hope. You know, it's great. We enjoy playing in front of more people, and fans want to get back in stadiums, so hopefully, you know, that can continue. And as you said, it brings a bit of normality, put something else in the news. We love our sport, we love our GAA in Ireland, and the fact that this is, you know, able to go ahead and club teams are back training, and it's just the excitement's kind of building now. And I think everyone enjoyed the leagues. The coverage has been excellent. I think, you know, GAA Go, it's here to stay now, and it should be, because, you know, the amount of games getting televised, I think it's proven over the years, there's been a lot of, you know, criticism how little action makes it to the Sunday game, but everyone sees now the quality of football right down to the divisions. So yeah, there's real excitement building.
Well, that's a very small positive to take out of the COVID situation, is the GAA Go thing and the extra games we broadcast online for fans to watch. It's the same with League of Ireland as well, and across the board in sport. There's more opportunity now for fans to see the games and watch them at home, and people abroad to watch them and so on, than there would have been before. And it's going to get a lot of extra coverage now, because that was probably brought in as a temporary measure for COVID, but it's going to continue. It's hugely popular.
Yeah, exactly. I think it is. You know, it just proves the demand is there. I suppose we always would have suspected it, but it just shows, you know, people will. I think so, you look at TG Carr and these kind of the games that they've shown over the years have always drawn an audience, so it's no surprise really that once the GAA set up their own streaming service, and likewise in other sports, the fans have flocked to them, because I think it was already something people wanted. You know, when club football is on TV, it's watched as well, so I think the more that's provided, the more people will watch.
Great stuff. Listen, Micheál, best of luck against Limerick, and best of luck for the whole championship campaign. Hopefully it's a great one for Cork.
Thanks very much, appreciate it.
The Nemo man, Micheál Martin, the Cork goalkeeper, speaking to me during the week ahead of Cork versus Limerick, the footballers opener in the championship, the semi-final, Munster semi-final, in the Gaelic grounds at 3 o'clock next Saturday. We'll wrap up our preview of that game right now with one more member of the Cork squad. I was chatting to Mallow man Matty Taylor as well during the week, and got his views ahead of the Limerick game next Saturday.
Right, Matty, beautiful weather out here at the training ground today, and championship around the corner. It's got that real summer championship feel now, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Look, come here, it's great. An evening, you get to go out on the pitch with the sun shining. It's great. Like, it's what we do at Four, I suppose. And look, there's a great buzz going to the first weekend of the championship, and look, we're preparing away as things go, you know. So yeah, really looking forward to it.
You had a pretty good league campaign. Obviously you started off with the loss, but you had 3 wins on the back of that, so you'll be in good kind of confident form now in the squad, I'd imagine.
Yeah, look, come here, we learned an awful lot from the league, I suppose, and there was a good mix of players, I suppose, involved, which is important. And yeah, took good learnings from it, and obviously things that we need to improve on, which is important as well. So yeah, learned an awful lot from it.
It was an intense campaign. It was back to back every weekend. I mean, there was no kind of week off in between. How did you find that? Was it exactly what you needed after a long layoff during COVID?
I suppose, look, everyone was, you know, welcomed the league coming back, and I don't think there was any qualms about the quick turnaround. I suppose it was tough on the bodies as the weeks went on, and I suppose us getting a fourth game, which was a relegation game, you know, gave us the extra week, but it was a quick turnaround, so I suppose there was a big emphasis on recovery throughout that period, I suppose.
It was a good win in that relegation game, keeps you in Division 2 for next season, and probably exactly the confidence boost you needed going into this game now in against Limerick.
Absolutely, look, it was a do or die game. Had you lost, you were going down to Division 3, and we managed to secure a victory which keeps us in Division 2, which is very important for the group. Yeah.
Now, looking at the opponents, Limerick, they had a good win in themselves in the last round against Waterford. They're coming into this now after scoring a lot in that game. They're being confident, move themselves. And I suppose you'll take nothing for granted against Limerick now, really, sure you won't?
No, absolutely not. Look, we'll prepare for Limerick as best we can. We'll worry about our own game and focus on ourselves leading into the game. And look, respect them for they are a good side. And look, we'll do our preparation on our side to be ready.
How did you find things in the build-up to the season? Obviously, you've had the league campaign now. But before that, I was just speaking about it as well. Like it was a very strange couple of months because there was no training. Every players were doing their own training. There was a bit of uncertainty about when the championship would go ahead, how it would go ahead, and so on. How did you find that? Was that difficult?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I suppose it's a team sport and we enjoy training together as a team. So training on our own was different to what we've been used to in the past few years. So yeah, it was difficult to train on your own and get your gym sessions done at home, which I suppose wasn't ideal given the equipment available to each guy. Like, so no, look, we made the most of it and we were together through Zoom calls and stuff like that. So made the most of it, I suppose I would say.
And is there a good atmosphere in the squad now between Ronan and all the lads? I mean, that you're all back together and you have the league campaign under your belts now. Is the atmosphere good heading into championship?
Yeah, come here, look. Yeah, there's nothing like championship build up in these squads. So everyone's in good form, looking forward to it. And I suppose everyone's championed a bit for a chance of a jersey to play championship football, you know?
Absolutely. That is Matty Taylor, Cork's Matty Taylor, speaking to me ahead of the big championship opener for the Cork footballers next Saturday afternoon. 3 p.m. throw-in up at the Gaelic Grounds in Limerick. It is Cork versus Limerick again. We're hoping that it'll go Cork's way this time. It went Limerick's way in the hurling last night, but hopefully Cork can get a win in the football next week. We will have comprehensive coverage of that next weekend on the show. We'll bring you all the reaction on Saturday evening. But for now, that wraps us up on the show on what has been an incredibly busy weekend right across the two shows of sport this weekend. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday night. Hopefully it dries up a little bit. And stand by for Conor Halpin on the way with Green and Red.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie.